from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
At the legislature today, lawmakers have just 2 days left in this legislative session, and both chambers are working through a flurry of bills to meet their 60-day deadline. In the Senate, members vote to get rid of a commission that helps women get elected to office, and in the House, delegates take on political vacancies. Governor Jim Justice joins us to discuss the latest on that all-important state budget and the legislative proposals to find a balance in the 2018 fiscal year. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. I'm Ashton Mara. The State Department of Revenue says West Virginia came up short in tax collections once again in March. Revenues were $80 million below estimates for the month and some $123 million for the fiscal year that ends in June. Lawmakers are relying on the state's rainy day fund and other one-time monies to close that gap this year, but have presented budgets in both chambers that avoid that tactic in 2018. Joining me this evening to discuss the progress of that budget is West Virginia's 36th Governor, Jim Justice. Governor, thank you so much for being here tonight.
No, Ashton, it's my pleasure.
Why don't we start with those revenue estimates that the Department of Revenue released today? Any surprise that we're falling behind again?
Well, not really. We all know we've got a terrible mess, and we've got a big, big hole in the bucket. It's unfortunate, you know, that we've got a hole in the bucket even for this year. I mean, this is... And surely to goodness, you would think if you were the governor, the new governor coming in, that things would be okay because we passed the budget last year through July 1 or through June 30. We're not okay. And we're going to end up probably $123 million upside down. And the only places to get that are sweep accounts where I found some real money. It's not the end-all, do-all money, but it's money. And it could very well bring us in maybe 70 million, 60 or 70 million of the 123 million shortfall. But we still got to address a hole in the bucket that the only place to go is rainy day.
Governor, I'd like to talk to you about the budget proposals that have come out of both the House and the Senate. You've made it pretty clear that you don't like either of those proposals. You're not incredibly happy with them, but I'd like to take them one at a time.
Surely.
If we can start with the House. The House's budget relies on $75 million in cuts and then $140 million in new revenue that largely comes from getting rid of exemptions in the state sales tax and then down the line lowering the overall tax rate. Why not that plan? What is it that you don't like about that?
Well, first of all, it's funny money. I mean, the cuts are going to have to be substantially more than what you've reported. The cuts are probably going to have to be to the magnitude of $150 million. And that's going to come from higher ed, K through 12, and DHHR. Well, we can't stand that. And the other thing is this, we are broadening the base. We are getting rid of exemptions that have tested the test of time. And basically, we're now taxing business against business. And it's a way, it's funny money in that it's a way to substantially raise taxes on business, way more than my cat tax on business, and hide it as we're just getting rid of an exemption. We're not really raising taxes. So at the end of the day, what it will cause is a terrible food fight that will break out, and it will happen with manufacturing or transportation or all this business against business stuff. And it won't work. It just won't work.
That cat tax, we should say, commercial activities tax, you proposed at a 0.45% to bring in about $40 million in new revenues. Let's talk about the Senate proposal, though, because the Senate is much closer to what you said. They're saying $140 million in cuts that come from the three things you mentioned: higher education, public education, and then health care from the DHHR. But I want to talk to you about one proposal specifically in the Senate, and that's to cut about $79 million from public education and make up that money by raising local property taxes. Does that make you nervous at all to shift that burden to the local level?
Well, it does. We need to do our job here. I mean, that's, why do we need to shift that back and put it on the backs of the counties? And it becomes very confusing. It passed on a vote, I think, of 17-18 or 17-15 or 17-16, something like that. So the net of the whole thing, it couldn't have passed on 17-18, but nevertheless, the burden doesn't need to go back on the counties, and it doesn't need to go back to the taxpayers from the counties. It's again a mechanism to raise taxes, because they know we've got to raise revenue. It's a mechanism to do that without the terrible taboo words, raise taxes. So the net of the whole thing is we've got to address the problem no matter what the taboo words are. And we've got to address it in a way that is as painless as we possibly can to our people. And that proposal is going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars, because we lose matching Fed dollars. And we hurt a lot of people with that. And it will slow our state even more. It's not a solution. It's a tread water, kick the can further down the road solution.
You announced yesterday that you would extend the regular session for one day, giving lawmakers a little extra time to work on the budget. Is there any chance that lawmakers can put something together for you in the next 3 days that you will sign?
It's doubtful. And again, if you just think of how simple it is of what I've proposed, 0.25% across the board on consumer sales tax, 1 penny for every $4 we spend, a tax that basically says the super wealthy, me, I pay just a little bit more. And then we go from from that to a business tax that is 0.00045. It's next to nothing. And what that does is spreads the pain across all of us. It gets us stabilized, but it doesn't really take us off. What takes us off is raising the turnpike fees and allowing all West Virginians to go for free, and a 4.5 cent tax on gas, and then bond that together and create those 48,000 new jobs. We can sunset the CAT tax and the increase in the consumer sales tax. That's easy as it can possibly be, because it's not that much money. 48,000 new jobs creates, honestly, it will create payroll tax revenues of $250 million a year. The CAT tax is $45 million. The sales tax is $25 million. We can get rid of it in a second with the new jobs and the new opportunities.
I want to get to that transportation plan if we have some time, but I want to come back to what you're calling your four-pronged approach to balance the budget. You've talked about cutting government, about increasing some taxes on the wealthy, asking wealthy West Virginians to do a little bit more, that 0.25 cent sales tax, and then also this CAT tax on businesses. Inevitably, Governor, if you decide to veto a budget, then the legislature has to come back in for a special session.
Right.
What goes on that special session call? Have you started having those conversations? Are they those tax increases that you've pushed?
Well, there'll be no question that that's what we'll do. But the sadness of the whole thing is we've been here 60 days. What have we been doing? I mean, for crying out loud, the one responsibility that we should have, the one constitutional responsibility that we have, is pass a budget. We should have been working on this upteen days ago. And I've been screaming my head off from the tops of the mountains every day that we need to be working on this. It's absolutely a travesty to think that we're going to have to come back in, pay legislatures. And again, I put up the bill to say 5 days and then no pay. Well, that hadn't got any traction either. So the net of the whole thing is you could end up here a long, long, long time. And I'm hopeful. I'm still working as hard as I can. I've been meeting with senators all day long and House representatives, and so we're still trying, but we've got to have something that just, it's just as easy as this, Ashton. We've got to have something that that these two questions are answered in the affirmative. First of all, if you do this, will more people leave or will more people come? And that is the test, because we've got to have people coming to West Virginia.
Governor, should you veto a budget in the next couple days, how long do you anticipate allowing lawmakers to go home before they come back? Is it a case where you want to get it done as quickly as possible, or wait and pressure them until the end, until right up to the deadline?
Well, I'm not the guy that, you know, I don't need any credit for anything here. All I want to do is get goodness done for West Virginia. We don't need to wait till right up to the dead end, till the 11th hour, and then try to pressure somebody into doing something. Really and truly, what needs to happen is these are good people. It's just a real differentiation of opinion and a lack of creativity to be, or we'd already be there. But they need to go home and rest and be with their families. They deserve to be able to do that. We don't deserve, our people do not deserve to have to come back, and our taxpayers have to pay for them to come back. But nevertheless, I'll let them go home, stay home a few days, maybe a week, maybe even 2 weeks, come back, try to get it done.
Governor, last year we were in, I think, a worse financial position than we are this year, and it took until June 14th for lawmakers to get a budget. That constitutional deadline is June 30th. Are you willing to shut down state government to get a budget that you think is good for the state?
Well, Ashton, I hope to goodness that we don't ever have to get to that point in time. I mean, surely to goodness. You know, we've got good, sensible human beings that can, you know, come to a solution that we don't have to do that. But the government is going to shut down on its own. I mean, that's what people don't understand. Ashton, we were not in a worse situation last year. This is like a gigantic snowball going down the hill, and it is getting worse by the day. And so we can fix it. And we can fix our drug problems, and we can get real hope back into our societies and communities. But Ashton, we shouldn't worry about a government shutdown by the fact that we don't have a budget. We're going to have a government shutdown just because we're crashing. I mean, we're crashing everywhere, and we've got to fix it.
I want to get to your roads plan just briefly. Part of that was based on a Senate bill that increased the gasoline tax by four cents, excuse me. There were some DMV fees worked in there. That bill has been pulled from the House agenda, and I'm hearing that it's not very likely it will come back. What's your reaction to that decision?
Childishness. That's all there is to it. I mean, you know, it passed the Senate, I think, 34-0. You know, came over to the House, you know, we got mad about the medical marijuana thing and the embarrassment to the Speaker by his own party, and just as a you know, just show of power, just pulled something down that's going to create 48,000 jobs and hurt a lot of people. Silliness, absolute the worst of politics. I think it'll be put back up before the end of the session, and I think we'll get that moved on through.
The House is voting tomorrow on the constitutional amendment that's tied to that, allowing lawmakers to increase some fees should voters vote for the constitutional amendment that would allow for new road bonds. As members of the House head into that vote tomorrow, what do you have to say to them?
Well, here's the thing. You know, first of all, the legislators need to do their job. I need to do my job. We don't need to put all of the burden on the vote of the people. The people should be voting on not whether or not we should have a 4.5% increase or 4.5 cents increase in gas tax. They should be voting on the bonding ability of putting a bond together, a commitment together for up to 10 years. Now, to put that all on the people, well, I would say first and foremost, if we're going to do all that, what do they need us for? I mean, really and truly, at the end of the day, what do you need me for? What do you need to elect the legislature for? So, and a lot of people may say, well, we don't. But the net of the whole thing is, I think the entire roads package will be passed, and it will be passed in this session, and we'll go from there.
Governor, I have just a second left, but I can't let you go without asking, will you sign the medical marijuana bill?
I would.
Governor Jim Justice, thank you so much for your time.
No, Ashton, thank you so much.
We return to the State House now, where we meet a few more members of the 83rd West Virginia Legislature in this edition of Meet Your Lawmakers.
Jason Barrett is a Democrat from Berkeley County. He represents the state's 61st House of Delegates district. Barrett was elected in 2016, previously serving a term in the chamber from 2012 to 2014. Outside of the State House, Barrett is a board member for the Shenandoah Women's Center. John Overington is a Republican from Berkeley County. He represents the state's 62nd House of Delegates district. Overington was elected to the House of Delegates in 1984 and is the longest-serving member of the chamber. He serves as the Speaker pro tempore, taking over the podium when the House Speaker steps away. Michael Folk was elected to the House of Delegates in 2012. He represents the state's 63rd district as a Republican. Folk is from Berkeley County. He serves as the Vice Chair of the House Committee on Pensions and Retirement. Corey Palumbo represents the state's 17th senatorial district from Kanawha County. A Democrat, he was elected to the West Virginia Senate in 2008. He previously served two terms in the State House of Delegates. Palumbo is the Senate Minority Whip and the son of Mario Palumbo, who served five terms in the West Virginia Senate. Eric Householder is a Republican from Berkeley County. He represents the state's 64th House of Delegates district. He was elected in 2010. Householder serves as the Vice Chair of the House Finance Committee and owns his own business. Jill Upson was elected to the House of Delegates in 2014. A Republican, she is from Jefferson County. Delegate Upson represents the state's 65th House District. She is the first African-American Republican woman elected to the West Virginia House of Delegates. Upson serves as the Vice Chair for Banking on the House Banking and Insurance Committee.
Senators have approved a bill that was the subject of intense debate in the House earlier in the session, ending the West Virginia Women's Commission. Once again, the chamber's female members took a stand supporting the measure. House Bill 2646 was approved by members of the House in early March on a 58-41 vote. Its sponsors included more than half a dozen female Republican members of the chamber, who argued the Women's Commission duplicates the efforts of many other state agencies, and its work training women to run for political office was unnecessary. Those same arguments were repeated in the Senate today, also from female Republican members, including Senator Patricia Rucker.
I believe that the Women's Commission is long past its time when it was needed, and I'm grateful to say that I got here without their help, and actually until I got here, I never even knew that the commission existed. I can say that in the Eastern Panhandle, they've been pretty much non-existent.
Created in the 1970s, the commission is a small bipartisan program housed in the Department of Health and Human Resources. Ending the program would save the state about $150,000 a year. Senator Sue Klein says that's money worth cutting.
The women's candidate trainings are performed by parties, private organizations, which I fully support and hope to see continue, not only for women, but for any individual hoping to seek public office. I'm not convinced that providing candidate training for anyone, regardless of gender, is something that the state should be participating in or paying for.
Of the 34 members of the West Virginia Senate, three are women, even though the gender makes up 51% of the state's population. Still, Klein says their services in terms of political activity are not necessary.
Men don't need a commission to help them run for office or host candidate training, so why do women need that?
Rucker agreed, pointing to services provided by other state programs, like the Equal Pay Commission.
There are already many safeguards for to help women in the workforce to eliminate discrimination, and I don't think that there's any need for the Women's Commission anymore.
No member of the Senate spoke against the bill, but in the House, several Democratic members argued the disparity in female representation in public office is reason enough to continue to fund the program. Senators approved the bill on a 24-10 vote, House Bill 2646, to end the Women's Commission on June 30th of this year, heads back to the House before it goes to the governor for a signature. With the passage of their budget bill yesterday behind them, members of the House are working their way through a number of bills left on their agenda this legislative session. Liz McCormick brings us a look at three of those bills approved in the chamber today.
17 Senate bills were on third reading in the House Thursday and put to a final vote. One of those was Senate Bill 255, which changes how vacancies in political offices are filled. The bill would require the appointed person be from the same party as the previous office at the time of his or her resignation, not at the time of election. As it came through the Senate, several senators pointed to former Senator Daniel Hall as the bill's motivation. Hall was a Democrat when elected to the chamber in 2012, but after the 2014 election, the senator switched parties, giving Republicans the majority in that chamber for the first time in over 80 years. In 2016, Hall resigned from the body, and the West Virginia Supreme Court was left to rule on which party would fill that vacancy. The bill passed on a vote of 87 to 10 in the House. All the no votes were from Democrats and from the single independent member in the chamber. The House also considered Senate Bill 402 today, which would limit the amount of time a doctor could open up his or her own practice after leaving an employer. As introduced in the chamber, Senate Bill 402 would have prohibited hospitals from including non-compete clauses in their contracts with doctors. But the bill has since been reformed and now allows clauses that last 1 year and limit them to a 30-mile radius from the original employer. Delegate Joe Ellington, a Republican from Mercer County and a practicing physician, supported the bill.
I've had a number of recruiters talk to me over the years, and recently also from some of our major hospitals in this state that said it's very difficult to get new docs into the state with these restrictions. And we are having a hard time recruiting physicians into this state and keeping them here.
Senate Bill 402 passed 80 to 18. Another bill considered in the House, Senate Bill 636, requires the State Fire Commission to begin a pilot program to address any problems within the state's volunteer fire departments. These issues would be in the areas of training, recruitment, or retention. Delegate Joe Statler, a Republican from Monongalia County, says volunteer firefighters are the first line of defense in the state, but many struggle to keep their doors open. Republican Amy Summers of Taylor County questioned Statler about whether this pilot program might end up hurting the volunteer fire departments instead of helping.
You don't think that there's any way that this pilot project could then say to these volunteer fire departments, you can't function anymore because you've been proven that, you know, something you're not effective or something of that nature. You think this is going to help the volunteer departments succeed?
I actually do believe that it will help. If everybody goes into it with the attitude that we're going to do what we can do to see where we have all these rules and regulations and all this training and everything else in place, that I believe that this can be a good thing. My biggest fear is how many might want to try to get onto the pilot program, and we can't sustain that many people trying to pilot.
Senate Bill 636 passed 95-3. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
Here's a look at three more members of the West Virginia legislature in this edition of Meet Your Lawmakers.
Tom Takubo was elected to the West Virginia Senate in 2014. A Republican, he is from Kanawha County and represents the 17th Senatorial District. Takubo serves as the chair of the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee. Outside of the Capitol, he works as a pulmonary surgeon. Paul Espinoza is a Republican from Jefferson County. He was elected to the House in 2012. Delegate Espinoza represents the 66th House District. He is the chair of the Chamber's Education Committee. Outside of the House, he works as a general manager for Frontier Communications. Riley Moore is a first-term delegate elected in 2016. A Republican, he represents the state's 67th House District from Jefferson County. A grandson of former West Virginia Governor Arch Moore, Delegate Riley Moore served as a National Security Advisor on the U.S. House Foreign Affairs Committee. This is his first time holding public office.
Tomorrow we'll be bringing you a special hour-long edition of the Legislature Today at an earlier time. Join us at 6 p.m. as we broadcast live from the Capitol Rotunda and feature interviews with lawmakers and interest groups who are following several bills still being worked through the legislative process. And on Saturday, we'll also be bringing you live coverage of Day 60. Join us on the West Virginia Channel Saturday morning, where we'll bring you the House and Senate floor sessions. Then at 8 p.m., both on the West Virginia Channel and our main public broadcasting channel, we'll broadcast the final hours of the session, following lawmakers until their midnight deadline. That's this Saturday on West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the West Virginia Channel. This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia University. Online at wvu.edu. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.